engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
What a great way to conclude the week. To be with you, brothers and sisters, I'm honored by your taking the time to chat with me. Let me know where you're from. And I know you come to us from across the nation and around the world. Some of you come and sit with me every single day. And I am grateful for that. Others are new to our ministry, and we welcome you. Some people were telling me in some comments yesterday that they were first aware of Priests for Life many years ago, even decades ago. And recently, with all our expansion on these broadcasts and on social media, they kind of rediscovered our ministry, learned more about it. Well, we're very happy about that. We thank you for that. Someone was just asking, I see the comments coming in. I see Sandy from California, another Sandy from Virginia, Mary from Ohio. Mary's with us frequently. Southwest Oklahoma, hi Sam. Las Vegas, hi Linda. New Jersey, Sylvia, thank you. Canada is with you. Thank you, Clay. Texas, but Kim is asking, who is Vigano? And this is a Catholic archbishop who served for several years as the nuncio to the United States. In the Catholic Church, the nuncio is one of the meanings of the word, is that is a representative of the Pope to that particular country. And Archbishop Vigano was in that role in recent years. And he has become very well known because he has been saying some pretty explosive and courageous things about the things going on in the church that, you know, are a little bit shady. And he's also been speaking up very strongly in encouraging President Trump and also talking about the disaster of Joe Biden. And so, you know, he's been getting a lot of attention in that regard. Dat from Utah and Cincinnati, Monterey, California. Thank you all, friends. Keep letting me know where you're from. Let me know also if there are particular intentions that you want me or our team to pray for, because together with Alveda King, many of you are watching us on her channel. She works full-time with me here at Priests for Life, and she is such a prayer warrior. And she, together with our whole Priests for Life team, we pray for you every day. Even if we don't know you personally or your specific intentions, let us know what those intentions are, because we do say to the Lord, Lord, all those that listen to us, watch us, follow us, and are involved with us, donate to us, listen to all their intentions and their prayers. All right, some of you are mentioning Gab, gab.com, and that is a platform. I'm not yet familiar with it, although our social media director put up an account there today for us, for me, Fr. Frank Pavone. But gab.com is apparently a new platform to share on, like in social media, and weird things are going on right now. Parler is down. I noticed a couple hours ago, and of course everybody's been noticing it. Twitter banned the president's account, the president of the United States. Something weird is going on here. Okay. President hasn't met. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to say a little prayer. The president himself sent you and me a message today, and it's short, but it's very significant. And I'm going to read it for you. Then I'm going to comment on it. And then I'm going to make you laugh. Now, some of you have seen it already. I usually don't write political satire or any other kind of satire. But I was inspired today. Thoughts just started pouring into my mind during the course of the day. And it crystallized in the late afternoon into a funny little piece. Serious and funny at the same time. You'll see what I mean. And I already posted it on my Facebook page, Father Frank Pavone, but I want to read it to you here tonight. Some of you have seen it already, and you're giving me comments earlier in the day. But I think it makes the point. So we're going to pray. Now somebody, and I've seen a number of comments about this here. Oh, our prayers are not working. Yes, they are, brothers and sisters. Yes, they are. If they remember something about prayer. Oh, by the way, like after we pray, I'm going to put this on, proudly wear my MAGA hat. Oh, and this, if you want to, I know some of you have this already. This is our T-shirt. Let me get it straight here. Pray for 45. Pray for President Trump, the 45th president of the United States. Pray for President Trump. And of course, a lot of us are doing exactly that during these days. And you may want to get this shirt. And if you go to prolifevote.com, you'll see a picture of it when you start scrolling down. And that'll take you to our online store where you can order this shirt. But prayer, listen, something we have to understand about prayer. Prayer is not like a vending machine. You know, B4, you know, there's the crackers that I like. B4, you put in the right amount of money and the crackers come out if the machine is working. Sometimes it doesn't. Prayer is not like that. Prayer is a relationship with Almighty God. And it consists, yes, of asking Him for things. He wants us to ask Him for things. That's a sign of our faith in Him. It's a sign that we're aware that we're dependent upon Him. It's a sign of our trust in Him, and He loves that. But prayer is also worship. You remember the story in the Bible where David, King David, had a son. Son got terribly sick. David besought the Lord for the child. Oh, please don't let the child die. And the child died. And David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead because, you know, he was fasting and weeping and sitting in sackcloth, and they said, my goodness, he's acting like this while the child is still alive. What is he going to do if we tell him that the child is dead? And he saw them whispering among themselves, and he said, is the child dead? And they said, yes. He got up, he washed, he ate, he worshiped. He went to the temple and worshiped. And his servants said, what are you doing? And he said, I have besought the Lord. The child has died. I'm going to worship Him. Worshiping God means understanding that He's God. We can ask Him things. But ultimately, we say, Lord, You are in charge. But we do that not in a sense of despair of any kind, but of the trust that we see in another verse of Scripture, Paul to the Romans, saying everything works for good for those who are called according to God's plan. Everything works for good. So we don't know His overall plan. But when what we're praying for is not exactly the way that God wants something to work out, that prayer's not wasted. God sees the trust we have in Him. He receives the supplication we give to Him. And then He uses that to accomplish what is good for us. And so the prayer is always effective, is always bringing, because the main thing is not whatever particular thing we're asking for. The main thing about prayer, the goal of it is that union with God. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank You. We thank You for this day. We thank You for our lives, our faith, our country, our president. Lord, we acknowledge tonight the blessings You give us, You are still giving us, through President Donald Trump. We thank You for all the accomplishments. Lord, we pray for our fellow citizens who are so very blind, with a capital B, so blind, that they do not see the greatest political leader that we've ever had. They don't see it, Lord. They don't recognize true leadership, and it's their loss. Lord, we pray their eyes will be opened, their hearts will repent. Lord, we pray for those who embrace the Democrat Party that they may repent. We pray in reparation for all the damage done to our country, to our values, to our church, to our faith, to our freedom, to our economy, to our military, by those who vote Democrat. Lord God, cleanse their hands of blood because they are ruining our nation. Lord, in fact, we ask You boldly tonight, inspire Your people in even greater numbers to completely leave. Even Patrick, Lord. We all pray for Patrick right now. He's going to turn off his computer now. To leave the Democrat Party. To run. To flee. To flee from the Democrat Party. Because it's evil, Lord. It's evil. We, your people, know the difference between good and evil, and this Democrat Party is sunk deep in evil. Lord, we repent, and we ask you that your people repent of the slightest. They repent of every penny given to that party, that they repent of every vote given to that party, that they repent, Lord God. We pray that you give us the strength to use our voices, not like Pat uses it, Lord, but that you give us the strength to use our voices for good and for truth, for righteousness, for the support of this country. Enable us to take up the opportunities that we have now to continue making America great. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you are saying President Trump will come out victorious. I want to offer a perspective because I'm going to read to you his message, and I'm going to talk about how we can implement that message, and I'm going to make you laugh a little bit. He is victorious already, more than victorious. There has never been a president, and this is undisputed, there has never been a president that received more votes than President Trump. There has never been a president that has accomplished more things than President Trump. Things that other presidents said were impossible. Things that experts said were undoable. And other things that turned out really great that many advisors said were unwise and would not turn out great. And now we have these sick Democrat leaders. You see, here's the problem. They use these empty words like, oh, we should have national unity. And then they turn around and call for another impeachment process. What in God's name is wrong with these people? What in God's name is wrong with these people? They're sick. President Trump has said it. I say it. These people are sick. Another Hughes, Richard, has given us great insight here. He has a lot of good vocabulary, by the way. Good job, Richard. These people are sick. They, on the one hand, want to call for national unity, and then they want to slap in the face 75 million Americans and the president that they voted for? And then we're supposed to think that that is a formula for national unity going forward? Michelle Obama, there's a winner. Repent, Michelle, repent, and repent tonight. What a fool. The things that she's saying about the president, it proves neither she nor her husband know anything about how to promote national unity. These people are sick. So, don't get me started on all that garbage. What has the president said to us today? Well, friends, this is a point that I've been making very, very clearly over these recent weeks. He tweeted this morning. The 75 million great American patriots who voted for me, America First, and Make America Great Again, will have a giant voice, and those words are in all caps, a giant voice, long into the future. They will not be disrespected or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form. That's the spirit. You see, this is how the president has won. I told you he has the victory, not only because more people voted for him than for any other president. He has started a movement, and we're not turning our backs on him. We are not slowing down or shutting up in any way, shape, or form. And he's speaking our language here, and he's inspiring this movement. It's a movement of love for this country. This, let me read it again. I want you to take inspiration. I want you to hear in the voice of the president here his love and appreciation for you. And, I mean, he's our great cheerleader. And we'll put this message, some of you are asking where we find this. We'll put this message there on the various platforms. It's a simple tweet. The 75 million great American patriots who voted for me, America First, and Make America Great Again, will have a giant voice long into the future. They will not be disrespected or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form. Now, who's being disrespected more than anyone else? President Donald Trump. Who's being treated unfairly more than anyone else? President Donald Trump. And yet, his mind is on us. On you and me. They will not be disrespected or treated in any way, shape, unfairly in any way, shape, or form. This corresponds to everything he's been saying. I am fighting for you, the American people. This battle in this election has not been about him. In his mind, it's about you. It's about us. We will, and we do. Have a very giant voice. It's up to us to use it. So Twitter shuts down his account. You and I have to be his mouthpiece. To our children, to our grandchildren, to our nieces, to our nephews, to our coworkers, to our family members, to our fellow believers, to our pastors. Let's educate them about what President Donald Trump has accomplished for this country. And this is the subject of an email I sent out today. I hope you're all getting my emails. Go to prolifevote.com. You'll see a place there where you can sign up for our emails. Let me just share with you the points I made in my email. Then I'm going to make you laugh with a political satire that I wrote today. What are we to do? I sent out an email that says, what are we MAGA patriots exactly supposed to do right now? Well, I put five things. Number one, educate people about the accomplishments of this president. Well, one of you is asking, will he have any rallies in the future? Oh, I think so. In fact, I'm going to encourage him to do exactly that, because that's what I think he should be doing. And educate people about the accomplishments of President Trump. Now, we have many, many websites. And one of them is prolifepresident.com. But it's not just his pro-life accomplishments. That's, of course, our area of focus. And Dan Keeley, there's a guy here, friends, who has offered to send me a tie, a necktie. What's his name there? Where are you from there, Dan Keeley, at shaw.ca? Oh, is that Canada? Where are you from? You need to remove that collar, he says, as if removing this collar would change any of the accomplishments of President Trump or change the truth of anything that I'm saying. Oh, Dan, you're going to send me a tie to wear instead? Did you hear what I said a few moments ago about these people are sick? Guess what, Dan? You're one of them. You're one of them. Congratulations. Anybody who hates this president, anybody who doesn't realize, doesn't have their eyes open to the greatness of the leadership of this man and the amazing historic accomplishments that he has achieved, there's really something wrong with them. So educate people about the accomplishments of this president. ProLifePresident.com, you'll see many different lists and different categories of his accomplishments. Now, point number two, very simple. Expose the Democrats. Expose them. We made a lot of good progress in the House of Representatives. Don't forget all the victories in this election. We made a lot of good progress in the House of Representatives, those sick Democrats. They thought that they were going to expand their majority in the House. Ha, 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 ha. It got smaller than it has been in many decades. And it's their own fault because they have sick policies, evil policies. You see, men of God and women of God, as we are able to stand up and point out what is evil. That's why we condemn the Democrats. because their policies are evil. Just like Jesus condemned the scribes and the Pharisees and the wicked leaders of his time. You think he didn't stand up and condemn them? Was he a man of God? That's all we're doing here. It's their fault. People say, oh, well, why are you being political? Well, you know what? Let the politicians take the right positions and I'll praise them. Let them take the wrong positions like Aretha does. Aretha Togba, do you believe in the killing of babies? The Democrats do. Democrat Party does. Now, I know a lot of great Democrats, individual people. Some of them don't realize how bad their party has become. So please, nobody should take this personally against them. I'm talking about the party and its policies and its platform. It's wicked. It's evil. You can't embrace it. You can't support it. You can't donate to it. And you can't vote for it. You can't. That's a religious principle. That's a moral teaching. That's perfectly legitimate for a man of God wearing a collar to say. So expose the Democrats. Let me give you one little point about exposing them, because what the Republicans are going to do again in this Congress, as they've done in recent Congresses, is they're going to introduce a bill to protect babies. Now listen to this, okay, everybody. Protect babies that have been born alive after a failed abortion. They're outside the mother's womb, and they're lying on the table gasping for air, and there's not adequate protection for them right now in the law. And don't say, oh, well, yes, there is, because, you know, we know what we're talking about here. We've studied this very carefully, and the information is publicly available to everybody. And the Democrats don't want to do it. If you can let that sink in for a moment, it's like someone is saying, hard to believe, thank you, Larry, God bless you, hard to believe they can justify infanticide. Oh, someone's asking what my hat says. Make America Great Again, MAGA, which is not just a campaign slogan. It's a philosophy. It's a whole set of convictions. But the Democrats don't want to protect even babies born alive after a failed abortion. Expose them. How many people who voted for Democrats understand that that is the position of their party? Expose them. The more you can expose, shine the light on how wicked, evil, and sick these policies are, the more we'll get people to do what they should do. That is, break away from that Democrat Party, Kelly. Kelly Carver. Get to know, number three, get to know your Republican state and federal legislators. Back them up. Work with them closely. Reach out to them starting today. Who represents you in your state government? Who are they? Who represents you? Who are the Republicans? Who are the pro-lifers? Reach out to them. Make sure they know who you are. Contact them. Find out what kind of good bills they're going to introduce on the state level and work with them like crazy to pass those bills. Who represents you in Congress? Very often we know our Congress representative and two U.S. senators better than we know our state representatives and senators. But let's get to know them all. Let's make sure they know you. Ask how you can help them. Give them input and advice as to what they are doing and proposing. Point number four, start working right now, tonight, this very moment, on the 2022 elections. We're going to take back the House. We're going to take back the Senate. 2022, we're going to take away from Biden the Congress. It'll happen. Because American politics has a beautiful resiliency, pendulum swings, and it's going to happen. But we have to work like crazy starting now. Find out who's up for re-election in your state. Is your your representative on the federal level in Congress? They have to run every 2 years. It's not a long time. They get re-elected, and then they have to start their next campaign. Reach out to them. See how you can help. Are you having a U.S. Senate race in your thank you, Maria. That's a good point, saying Biden won't make it till 2022. Thank you for that that important observation. But, you know, it right here, I mean, working on the 2022 midterm elections, it has to start now. And then number five, sign up with me at ProLifeMAGA.com. ProLifeMAGA.com. Let's do it. that'll connect you with us in a way that we will be giving you projects to do, information to share, and work to accomplish. And everyone is saying, of course, okay, you're making very good points about we have to fix the voting procedures. There are always ways to improve. And this is one when you go and talk to your state legislators, you know, bring up the election laws in your state, because it's the state legislators that have the authority over those election laws. And, you know, if they're proposing, they may be proposing some particular bills for the future that you could work with them on. They need your help. They need your input. They need your support. When I say the work on the 2022 elections has to start now, this is very much what I have in mind. In other words, part of preparing for elections is not just letting people know about the candidates and building up a base of support, but it is introducing the necessary reforms in election laws that need to be introduced in the various states. That's a state law issue. And there can also be federal laws, and I suspect there might be one or two, except, well, we'll see. All right, so I'm not going to keep you too long tonight, but you know what? I want to read to you a little bit of a political satire that I published today on my Facebook page. Let me just read it to you. Political satire is what this is. I got a copy of the memo that was circulated internally among those who are preparing the reception to follow Biden's inauguration. And here's what the memo said. Please be attentive to the following protocols regarding the inaugural reception. Attendees, all will be welcome, except people who believe in the USA. The event will be at a location where there are no walls, so anyone can come in, including criminal aliens, rapists, and drug dealers. Security, given the above, there will be security personnel present. However, all their guns have been confiscated. We are confident that you will be safe, but in case someone should attack you or steal something from you, you can be sure we will catch them. Then we will immediately release them. Given the fact that the darkest days of COVID are ahead, people will not be allowed near each other. You must stay on the concentric circle drawn on the ground and assigned to you. Masks will be mandatory under penalty of death. You may briefly pull your mask down to take a forkful of food, but you must put it back on while chewing. Also, as a COVID precaution, all singing has been banned at the event. This will also save you the trouble of kneeling during the national anthem. Flags. An impressive array of flags of the Chinese Communist Party will be on display. And in order to avoid the risk of violating the fire code, no American flags will be allowed. Fees. The event is complimentary, but a collection will be taken up for Planned Parenthood. No conscience objections are allowed, but neither do we expect any. Invocation. There will be an invocation offered to Mother Earth. There will be no religious exemption from participating in this prayer. Toasts. The main toast will be offered in honor of the nation of Venezuela and its exemplary leadership. If you are making one of the several other toasts, you are reminded to studiously avoid any use of the words man, woman, father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, his, her, or their variations. Seating. There will be name tags at your seat written in 36 languages. The main seat of honor at the event will, of course, be occupied by Kamala Harris. Child care. For those who have been punished with a child, there will be an area for child care. Activities will include making paper houses out of torn up pieces of the Constitution. For older children, there will be a session of creative writing of the Constitution. The children's room, however, is off limits to parents. Voter registration. There will be a table available for voter registration. Each guest may fill out up to 25 registration forms, as long as at least the first name is changed on each one. Landscape. In order to provide a view that will be free of any psychological triggers, we have seen to it that no monuments to any figures from American history will be in view. Weather. We expect good weather, but let's hope for enough wind to generate the electricity. And finally, speeches. Unfortunately, the new president will not be able to speak. So this is posted on my Facebook page already. It's pinned to the top. Facebook, Father Frank Pavone. And I think I'm going to be sending this out by email as well tomorrow. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for sitting with me for a while tonight. Please spread the word about the things that I've said tonight. Please spread the word for our programs and for our ministry. You are very much a part of what we do, and we appreciate that. And if you want to donate to our ministry, prolifegift.org, I know many of you do, and please consider going there and helping us out. You know, we rely only on people like you. Well, unlike, you know, the abortion industry, we don't get these big grants from government agencies or Planned Parenthood or rather these billionaires, pro-abortion billionaires and so forth. So, and we'll post this. We'll post this also on our website, our main website. Our main political website is prolifevote.com, so I'll get it up there as well for you to read, laugh at, and pass along. I'm glad you enjoyed it. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here with Priests for Life. Talk to you tomorrow.
I think we have Richard Lee, we have Jim Garlow, and we have Father Frank Pavone, someplace there in the audience. So I appreciate you.
Follow him, Father Frank Pavone, F.R. Frank Pavone, on Twitter. He is the National Director of Priests for Life. Please go to priestsforlife.org.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.